Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can get a daily dose of information about your favorite NBA and NFL teams, which now includes the Pacers. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, and today for that daily dose of Pacers info, we'll compare and contrast the Pacers' first preseason game this year with a similar start to last season. We'll also check in on Paul George and Nate McMillan and what they had to say after practice today at the Fieldhouse, and go around the league for some injury updates that are interesting and could impact the Pacers. So let's get to it. Okay, first of all, thanks for taking the time to listen to the show. I appreciate all the positive feedback, so keep the comments and questions coming. You can reach me on Twitter at IndyCornrows and email at IndyCornrows@gmail.com. Now, I wrote a story about the game in New Orleans, win over the Pelicans, the first preseason game, and kind of tried to take some of the key numbers and compare it to the Pacers' first preseason game last year when they played the Pelicans as well. There were actually a lot of similarities, and then a few areas of contrast when you look back on how both games played out. But you know, if you recall last season, much like Nick McMillan, Frank Vogel was talking about how the Pacers were going to evolve in the pace and space revolution that's taking over the NBA and play a little quicker, play smaller, a lot more ball movement, quicker shots in the shot clock, trying to improve that offense while still maintaining some of their defensive personality. So this season, Nate McMillan was saying the same things as we headed into the first game. Now, different personnel, and one big difference is the fact that in Frank's first game last year, he had Paul George playing at power forward, and that matchup against Anthony Davis didn't go over too well. But if you look at the games, they actually played out kind of similar. The effort to play faster was definitely there last season. The Pacers in that game last year, they shot 35 three-pointers. Now, they only made 10, but that compares to last night when the team shot 11 for 34. So one difference was that the Pacers shot 92 overall field goals last year compared to 104 last night, which was eye-opening, to say the least. But a lot of that came from the fact that the Pacers took care of the ball better last night with only 11 turnovers compared to 20 last season. And, of course, anyone who followed the team closely last season knows that at many times during the year, turnovers were a frustrating part of that team last season. So, again, that taking care of the ball, big issue. Another issue that we're questioning heading into this season is rebounding. And last year, the Pacers held their own on the boards, winning the rebound battle 62-55. But this year, they dominated on the glass, winning with a plus 15, with 59-44. So that helped the Pacers, show up differently in some key areas, points in the paint, second chance points, fast break points. Last year, the Pelicans had were plus 4 in points in the paint compared to this year. Pacers were plus 30. That's ridiculous. second chance points, Pelicans only had 4 last year. Or Pelicans were plus 4 last year. This year, the Pacers were plus 16. And part of that had to do with minimizing the offensive rebounds for the Pelicans. I think they only had 4 second chance points on 3 offensive rebounds. And then last year, the Pelicans had an advantage in fast break points of plus 3. This year, it flipped. Pacers were plus 3. So in reality, the games were kind of similar, but the Pacers were definitely more on point this year and able to win the game. Last year, they lost the game 110-105. So while they got the offense last year, they didn't take care of the ball, and they weren't able to defend as well as this year. The other big contrast from last year had to do more so off the floor with the team dynamic. Paul George, following that game last year, was down, even though he had a pretty good game, 18 points, and actually showed up pretty well against Anthony Davis. You know, it wasn't a bad idea to have Paul try and play some power forward, but of course the player has to buy in and be willing to do it. And he expressed quite clearly after that game last season in the locker room that he wasn't happy playing the four. He wasn't comfortable. He didn't know where to go, what to do. And the fact that he's coming off the injury after being out the year before didn't help. The timing wasn't good for that big of a transition. So that left, you know, after game one in the preseason, all the plans that had gone into last year seemed to be completely jumbled. And honestly, it seemed quite strange that the star player, the guy they're counting on to make a big transition like that, didn't seem to be on the same page or going in the same direction as the coaching staff and obviously some of the players. So from the get-go, it seemed like a struggle, and that kind of set the stage for that pace and space transition to run into a brick wall, and eventually Vogel scrapped it and went back to his smash mouth, easy for me to say, smash mouth style by Christmas. So we'll see going into this year now with a different setup. They play with Thad Young guarding Anthony Davis. And Paul George, after the game, is quite happy and talking about how fun it was to play with Jeff Teague. And there's no doubt that when that team got on the plane last night and heading back to Indy, they were all definitely heading in the same direction, not only in the air, but on the court as well. So we'll see if that Nate McMillan spoke about how happy he was with the team's performance, but the fact is he had him back in the gym for a hard practice with the game tomorrow night. But the idea is that this is preseason and they're still working. And Paul George mentioned it wasn't fun having a hard practice, but he knows this is something that's preparing him for the regular season. So with work to do, they're not going to waste a day in between games just because they have a preseason game. The games, you know, guys aren't playing full minutes. And again, they're essentially quote-unquote practice games. So they were back at work, and Paul George talked about several things in his media time today. Again, you know, talking about playing with Jeff Teague and the way that they didn't have a lot of sets called for them in the past, of course. That's one thing that slowed the team down. Get the ball, run down, get a play called, get into the set, run the play. It's not exactly a free-flowing offense, but last night, PG thought maybe they called 5 plays, and He said he enjoyed, quote unquote, the freshness of playing with the new teammates and how they shared the ball and how eager everybody was to share the ball and make that offense work, an offense that really is predicated on getting the ball, pushing up the floor, and trying to create as opposed to setting up specific plays. So, again, that's a contrast from last year. Obviously, that sounds really player-friendly, and a guy like Paul George is going to buy in. Any player is going to buy in when they're able to get out and create and make plays. As Paul George said, McMillan doesn't care if they take a good shot with 23 seconds left on the clock or two shots. And he mentioned the word trust, and it seems like there is that trust right now between the coach and the players to do what's right, and the players are really buying in. Another point PG made, that they're all committed, and they trust what McMillan's doing. So if he says they're going to have a tough practice, that's fine with them. Let's go. Let's do it. So right now, everything looks good. Again, when you give the players that freedom, there's always a always a big risk on the other side that when things start going south, there's going to be no one to rein things in and change things and get everybody back on the same page. But for now, it sounds great heading into game two against the Bulls. One thing that mentioned from McMillan's comments are that Miles Turner practiced today but will not play tomorrow. Wants to have a few more practices under his belt, needs some more conditioning after a week off, basically. Aaron Brooks practiced today and sounds like he's going to be a game time decision depending on how he reacts to the workout today. Jeremy Evans even played some today. He's not expected to play in the game, but it looks like he's going to be available for practice going forward. Again, all was good. Nate lauded the ball movement, and along with taking care of the ball, lack of turnovers, of course, sounds like a classic point guard playing coach. So, and his goal, of course, is to improve after every game. So they're going to head into tomorrow against the Bulls. Should be a much stiffer challenge with a lot of old pros now with Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo in there along with Jimmy Butler. So should be an interesting crowd and game at the Fieldhouse tomorrow. McMillan said the rotations will be about the same to start Kevin Serafin and bring Al Jefferson off the bench. So he maintains that spot in the rotation. They plan on him playing in the regular season. So that's kind of all the news from the Fieldhouse today. Also directed to a good article by Nate Taylor of the Indy Star. He wrote a story about these interviews along with some info on Jeff Teague, who was real happy with how things went. He had a kind of a funny comment that he wasn't used to getting so many open shots and was hoping next time he could make some of them. So he seemed to be happy with the way things ran on Tuesday in New Orleans as well. So one thing I want to mention right now is to thank the Locked On Podcast Network. They have been great support as I'm figuring things out and working here with the podcast. There's a lot of great shows out there. Of course, Locked On Colts is covering all of the crazy news out of Colts camp on the west side of town with their recent loss and trying to right the ship and figure out a way to win. Locked On NBA, the latest episode with David Locke and Kevin Pelton is fantastic. Pelton, of course, is a great numbers guy for ESPN, and actually worked the advanced stats for the Pacers for a couple years back. So he always brings some interesting perspective to the game and how it's played. And in this one, they talk about three-pointers and how the game is evolving and how the skills are changing and the need for shooting more threes and three-point defense and how that's impacting the game. So they hit on a lot more topics than that, but that was one of the interesting sidelines. So I direct you to that Locked On NBA podcast. It's a great listen. So as I mentioned, to close up the show, I want to hit on a little bit of injury news that was coming out today from the NBA. One injury for a local legend, Gary Harris, former Mr. Indiana, Mr. Basketball, from Hamilton Southeastern, now with the Nuggets. He had a groin injury of some type, which is never fun, of course. And sounds like he's going to miss the start of the season, be out maybe 4 to 6 weeks, according to reports. So that's a bummer. Saw him play this summer up at Grand Park, and his skill set rose above everybody that was out there, a lot of college players. He is something else. I was really, really looking forward to seeing him, his game grow this year. And so hopefully he'll get healthy and back out there. To the Central Division is news that Reggie Jackson, point guard for the Pistons, is going to be out and likely miss a few weeks at the start of the season due to knee tendonitis. Now, sounds like there's not going to be any surgery or any work done, just rest. So sometimes that's good news. Sometimes a lingering injury like that is bad news, but he is definitely a key cog for the Pistons, team that is a lot of people are really high on, I think mainly because of Stan Van Gundy. I mean, the team has put together a nice young roster, definitely growing, but I think Van Gundy gets most of the respect there for that team appearing to be ready to jump to the top half of the East. And if a player is going to be key to that, it's going to be Reggie Jackson, the point guard. So he spent the summer in L.A. staying with Paul George when George was out there and working out with him. So I'm sure PG will be concerned about him, but now that you are battling for prime real estate in the East, so that's not going to help the Pistons get off to a good start. So we'll keep an eye on that injury. And surely he'll be, since it is a rest injury, one of those things where he probably won't miss too much time, unless, again, it's worse than they say, and obviously, they don't spend more time. So injuries are going to be key, and there's so many new faces in the Central. You think about the Bulls coming in tomorrow. They have a lot of veteran players now, especially Rondo and Wade. Those are two guys that are always an injury threat. So you have a feeling by the end of this season, adding up all those missed games due to injury could be the difference between the Pacers, the Bulls, the Pistons, and where they sit at the end of the season. So that wraps up the show for tonight. I really appreciate, again, everybody listening and giving me great feedback. You can reach the show at audioboom.com and where you can also listen to all the past episodes. We're already on to episode 5, it seems like. We're getting to be a weekend now. Also, you can subscribe on iTunes, so please do that and give us a good rating. I'd appreciate it. We're excited with the growing audience and always love to hear your Pacer story or comments or questions. So, again, what makes you a big Pacers fan? let me know about it. You can reach me at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. So that's a wrap for today. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.